Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. We'll read verses 6 through 15. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. Before I read this scripture passage, just let me say this scripture passage is often misunderstood, often misapplied, and sometimes used as a weapon. So when you hear it, it may sound familiar and you may be reminded of places that you have heard it quoted or taken out of context. So stay with me. If the words of the scripture reading might sound off-putting or confusing or familiar, we'll try to set it in context during the sermon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. Brothers and sisters, we command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to stay away from every brother or sister who lives an undisciplined life that is not in line with the traditions that you receive from us. You yourselves know how you need to imitate us because we were not undisciplined when we were with you. We didn't eat anyone's food without paying for it. Instead, we worked night and day with effort and hard work so that we would not impose on you. We did this to give you an example to imitate, not because we didn't have a right to insist on financial support. Even when we were with you, we were giving you this command: if anyone doesn't want to work, he shouldn't eat. We hear that some of you are living an undisciplined life. They aren't working, but they are meddling in other people's business. By the Lord Jesus Christ, we command and encourage such people to work quietly and put their own food on the table. Brothers and sisters, don't get discouraged in doing what is right. Take note of anyone who doesn't obey what we have said in this letter. Don't associate with them so they will be ashamed of themselves. Don't treat them like enemies, but warn them like you would do for a brother or sister. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The cooler days this week offered a welcome opportunity to open the window in my study while I was working. Surely the fresh air would be conducive to reflection and creativity. At first, the cicadas provided a harmonious symphony, but that wasn't all that I heard through that open window. There were lawnmowers, sirens, car alarms, and the yelling of an angry man down the street who could be heard several doors away. Distractions. Who was distracted? Besides me, there were a couple of other neighbors who wandered out to assess the danger of the angry guy who was yelling. Nanette probably wished I would close the window, as she might have been distracted from her work in the church office by all those distractions. You know who wasn't distracted? The cicadas. They sang on in chorus, undistracted from who they were and what they were doing. They knew from the coolness of the air that their days were numbered. Seasons were rolling on. Better sing, better do your thing while you can. Let nothing distract you. Distraction has always been a problem. You don't have to be a student. You don't have to have a smartphone. You don't have to be surrounded by noisy neighbors or even a lot of enticing options. It only takes one. And that doesn't have to be all that interesting. There's always something to focus on besides our own work. Maybe it doesn't take much to distract us from our work because we're already looking for an escape. Maybe work is a distraction for us. It's hard to keep our eyes on our work because we can think of a dozen other things that we would rather be seeing or doing. Every sound is a reminder of the existence of something besides work, a window of opportunity through which we can't help but look, escaping if only in our imagination, to do whatever we may be missing because we have to do our work. Labor Day seems to be a permission slip for workers to be distracted, if but for a day. A time to, as one of the purported founders of Labor Day said, honor those from rude nature who honor those who from rude nature have delved and carved the grandeur of the world. It's great to have a permission slip, a hall pass, but the lack of one doesn't seem to prevent distractions. If the calendar fails to provide a permission slip, we're at no loss of creativity to manufacture one for ourselves, to come up with reasons as to why we are distracted. If not reasons, at least excuses. Ask anybody why they get distracted, and like belly buttons, everybody has one. Some of them are legitimate. Some things need immediate attention. What if the angry guy yelling outside posed a threat to someone in the neighborhood? Sometimes sermon preparation needs to be interrupted, as long as it is resumed in time for Sunday morning worship. But what if we linger in distraction? What if our hands just fall idle? What if the season of opportunity rolls on, whether we do or not? WWCD, what would cicadas do? In the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul seems to tell his readers to keep their eyes on their work. The words seem controversial, if not harsh, on the surface. A couple of points of context of Paul's letter might be in order. In his commentary on this passage, Frank Crouch points out that despite the common assumption that Paul addresses poor people who are taking advantage of others' generosity, the letter does not say the problematic people are poor, just that they are idle and busybodies. Maybe they're just distracted. What distraction might have caused their hands to fall idle? The problem that the letter of 2 Thessalonians seems to address is, in fact, one of focus. The early followers of Jesus seem to be focused on the return of Christ. Many of them, as others ever since, believe that Christ's return was imminent, so much so that some among them had become distracted, sitting idly by, waiting for Christ to come back, rather than focusing on the responsibility of sustaining themselves by the work of their hands. That was the issue. Or, as the Desert Father Theodore said, they were taking their rest before God gave it to them. The Apostle Paul offers a shout-out for working, not only in his letter, but by example he set among them, working to provide for himself. Paul told those who were distracted from their work by the anticipation of Christ's return to keep their eyes on their own work. And he told the rest of the community to not be distracted by the idleness they saw in others. Idleness that was being rationalized in the name of faith. Paul is not trying to establish social service policies for the Thessalonians. He is trying to establish a do good for others even when you don't have to ethic among those who seek to be followers of Christ. Or, as Sally Brown points out, a grim work ethic is most definitely not the premise on which this text is based. This text cannot become good news if it is reduced to little more than work ethic-based moralism. So, if that's where our focus falls when we read this scripture in 2 Thessalonians, we too might be distracted. We will best understand Paul's instruction if we detach it from the context of contemporary political and economic views and explore it in its context. What is Paul saying about work here? Besides speaking for and exemplifying the practice and discipline of working to provide for oneself, Paul is telling the Thessalonians and us not to be distracted, to keep our eyes on our work, which first and foremost is doing what is right. Paul offers a counterbalance to the idea that anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Rather than advising us to propose ways to stop ourselves from helping others in need or limiting our help only to those who prove themselves to be deserving of it, Paul ends by tilting suddenly over to the other end of the giving continuum. He ultimately calls on the Thessalonians to hold some combination of the following work ethics and ethical goals. Don't get tired of doing what is right. Don't get sick of doing good. Keep on keeping on and doing good things. Never stop lifting up those around you if you can. Don't ever give up on doing good. Do whatever you can, whenever you can, wherever you can, in whatever ways you can, even if you don't have to. I'm not sure if Paul would have been open to the idea of including a silent reflection on these verses in 2 Thessalonians, but if he had selected one, perhaps it could have been the silent reflection in this morning's worship bulletin. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither to the right nor the left. Leave evil in the dust. Whether or not the Apostle Paul would have used it, it certainly seems like a quote that we might reflect upon today. Are we not being bombarded by sideshow distractions? Have we not all grown more weary, more discouraged in doing what's right by all of these distractions? Do you find yourself distracted to the point that you're asking the question, what's the use? Some time back, when we just thought we knew what sideshow distractions were, when we thought we knew what weariness was, Peter Marty wrote in his Christian Century column, I wonder if our weariness with what's not right in the world sometimes makes us more apathetic toward that which is good. Have we become sluggish in spirit with a low thirst for God and a high indifference to that which makes life worth living? It could be that we're not doing all that we should be doing with our lives because of the effort required. When Paul criticizes those in the Thessalonian community for living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work, he's challenging them to make something happen. Engage with the world. Stop shaping life into a yawn. Don't check out with a failure of purpose. Instead of moral inertia, do not be weary in doing what is right. A lot is going on that could distract us from doing what we know is right. That's the whole point of sideshow distractions. WWCD. What would cicadas do? Giving up is not an option. Growing weary is not an option. Being discouraged is not an option. Shaping your life into a yawn, as Peter Marty says, is not an option. Our season of opportunity is rolling by. It's time for us to be cicadas, undeterred in doing what's right through any and all distractions. Better sing, better do your thing while you can. Let nothing distract you. Don't get discouraged in doing what is right. Amen.